Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and slowly getting over the disappointment of England in the Euros final last night. We will hear from some fans in just a bit, but first, on Monday, July the 15th, video footage showing people risking their lives at level crossings has been released as part of a major safety campaign. It's after near misses in Gillingham, Sittingbourne, Faversham, Gravesend and East Farley, where Network Rail's released CCTV, which you can see today at Kent Online. It includes a couple avoiding getting hit by just inches, a truck getting trapped between the safety barriers, and two cyclists crashing in the middle of the tracks. I've been speaking to Gemma Kent, who's the County Route Risk Advisor at Network Rail.
We've released it now just ahead of the school holidays. Usually we see a rise during the school holidays with children being, you know, bored, wanting to find something to do, thrill seeking. So now is a great time to try and, you know, capture that before the school holidays start.
And can you tell us a bit about what some of the footage shows? This is near misses involving level crossings. Obviously, we've got a lot of those across the county. Just describe some of the things that you've caught on camera.
Yeah, so we see people walking across with push bikes, standing in the crossing, not looking in either direction. We see people with dogs walking across the trespass guards that are at the side of the crossings to protect people from getting onto the railway itself. We see vehicles jumping the red lights, weaving around the barriers to avoid waiting for trains. We also see a lot of people nowadays. Everybody has a mobile phone. Everybody is distracted by a mobile phone. So we see a lot of people looking at their phone instead of looking up to see if a train's approaching, or listening to music from their phone with their headphones on so they can't hear trains approaching.
Yeah, as I say, some of that footage that you've shared is really quite terrifying. I mean, people having incredibly near misses. I mean, it must be awful for a train driver as well to see someone so near to a level crossing, because, well, presumably they're going quite reasonably quickly. I mean, it must be an awful sight for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Usually, you know, they can be traveling up to 100 miles an hour. The other thing to bear in mind, when you're driving a car, you can swerve, you can, you know, try and move around an object or a person, but you can't do that in a train. You can't swerve. The braking distance is a lot harder than a car as well, so it takes the train a lot further to stop. They're also much higher up, so their visibility, they can't always see directly, you know, below, so their visibility is also reduced. So really frightening for drivers. Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about some of the different level crossings we have in Kent? Because you mentioned there about cars maybe swerving through the lights, but there are pedestrian ones in particular as well, aren't there?
So we have, like you say, the vehicle crossings on roads. We also have a lot of footpath crossings. So the majority of our crossings are actually footpaths. So they'll be on the edges of towns or through the countryside, and there is nobody, you know, watching them via CCTV like you find on the road crossing. So we really rely on people to do the right thing and stop, look and listen for trains. Some of our crossings we have red and green lights at, which are really simple to understand. If it's a green light, it's go. If it's red and the audibles are going, don't go. So we have a few of those, and we're putting in more as well to help. So, and we also have privately owned farm crossings, privately owned access crossings as well, that that are for farmers to get to their land, or people to get to their houses, or residents. So, yeah, we have lots of different types.
Well, the footage is truly terrifying. You can see those clips today by heading to kentonline.co.uk.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you in today's episode. And a woman's due in court charged with murder after a man went missing in Canterbury. Human remains have been found at a property in St Martin's Road by police searching for 65-year-old Jeremy Rickards. He hasn't been seen since the beginning of June. Maureen Rickards, who's 50 and from the same road, is due to appear before magistrates. A drink driver has been ordered to do unpaid work after crashing into the entrance of a block of flats near Maidstone. Anthony Walton, who now lives in Armitage Close in Hoo, was driving at almost twice the speed limit when he crashed in Barming before driving off. The 40-year-old has also been given an 18-month driving ban and must complete rehab sessions. A Whitstable woman says she's grateful to judges for giving her a second chance to stay out of prison following an attack on paramedics. Roma Lawson appeared in court last week for assaulting the emergency workers while high on illegal substances. The 35-year-old who lives in Sea Salter has been told she's got 3 months to clean up and stay out of trouble or face jail time. Now, plans to scale back the number of children eligible for special needs places in Kent have been described as terrifying by worried families. Kent County Council say there's an over-reliance on special school placements and want to change the admissions guidance so they're only for those with the most complex needs. Mum of two, Hayley Forrest, runs Forrest Autism Support and has been speaking to Abigail Hook from our colleagues at KMTV.
What we need to be clear on is that the schools, what's happening is that we're saying that certain schools are going to change their admission criteria, so only the most severe and complex children will be able to have a place there. So my concern mainly, and I know a lot of other parents share this concern, is what if your child isn't deemed severe and complex, or what if they are actually academically able, as many children on the autism spectrum are, what's going to happen to those children?
What would your solution be for those children who don't fit into a specialist school or don't fit into a mainstream school? What about those children in that grey area in the middle? What would be the suggestion?
I'm really worried about those children because I think I'm working with so many families at the moment and parents are either choosing to homeschool or being forced to homeschool. They're having to leave their employment because they've got children at home that they need to care for. We've got children in that kind of grey area that are struggling with their mental health. They're becoming isolated. Their grades are dropping. These are the children that we really need to focus on. And these are the children that actually are probably, well, are going to be most affected by these changes. So the solution really is that we need to upskill or change maybe our mainstream provision. We can't just say all these children are going to need to go into mainstream. There needs to be change around that. Maybe specialist hubs or SRPs attached to our mainstream schools. There needs to be a lot of work around this so that these children have got alternatives, because these children that I'm working with cannot access big, busy mainstream environments. They're just not geared up for it.
And some of the statistics are quite staggering. 20% more EHCPs in Kent than the rest of the country. Why do you think that is?
I know. It's a really good question. I get asked this all the time. And I think, I'm not sure why. Maybe we demographically have a greater need in this area. It's a really hard one to answer. Because I know that actually obtaining an education healthcare plan in Kent is quite difficult. So there are, you know, there are a lot of them that are turned down and parents are having to go to tribunal and really fight their cases. Parents feel it's the only way at the moment to get the support that their child deserves and needs, because maybe there's a problem in school, usually in a mainstream school, where they feel that their child isn't being understood or supported, and they feel that that's the only way to kind of get representation for their child. So if we were able to meet the needs of those children better, it would probably mean less applications for education healthcare plans. But then that's a whole piece of work that needs to be done around supporting mainstream schools, maybe developing more SRPs, more specialist hubs.
And looking forward now to the next 5 years of a new Labour government, how much hope do you have that children with special educational needs will be prioritised under Labour?
I hope so. I really do hope so. I mean, we're probably at crisis point right now, I think, in terms of education as a whole, especially in the SEN sector. So this needs to become a priority for our Labour government. It really, really does. And I hope that change, you know, this change is a good thing. And maybe, you know, some fresh ideas and some new MPs, local MPs, can actually push and drive some of these changes in a positive way.
Well, KCC's Corporate Director for Children, Young People and Education, Sarah Hammond, insists the Council's aim is to prepare those with the most severe needs for adult life. This is what she said. Our aim is to prepare children and young people with severe and complex special educational needs for adulthood by providing a special school place as close to their local community as possible. By designating our schools, we can make sure they have trained staff, special resources and facilities to reflect the type of need they support. We want to hear from those people whose experience can help shape our approach. We'd love to know what you think about this story. You can comment by heading to kentonline.co.uk or following us on socials.
Kent Online reports.
A teenage boy accused of attacking two women at a Sikh place of worship in Gravesend has been detained for mental health assessment. The 17-year-old appeared at Maidstone Crown Court over the weekend in connection with the incident at the Gurdwara on Thursday night. He's due at Medway Youth Court on Thursday. A man's been arrested on suspicion of drink driving after a crash in Chatham that's left a woman in hospital. A car collided with another vehicle and overturned on Walderslade Road last night. A 23-year-old's in custody. Now, a Medway man says he's been hounded by a gas company for 7 months for a bill that wasn't even his. The property in Raynham was supplied by British Gas, who refused to set up Benjamin Robinson as a new customer until the outstanding debt was settled. Well, the 41-year-old war veteran says he was even threatened with bailiffs. Benjamin has been speaking to reporter Alex Langridge.
Got the keys, was very excited moving into a property on my own personal freedom, and was quickly found the building itself, the property itself, was heavily damaged, and then I was receiving more and more bills.
And obviously these bills, obviously you just got the keys, you're just sort of moving in. Who are these bills for, if not for yourself?
So it's worked out that I couldn't have possibly had used the energy, and the bills were for the previous tenant who was found to be deceased.
So what's kind of happened since then? Obviously that was the end of November, went out at the beginning of July, no longer have the keys to the property. What's been happening?
So I'm continually being hounded, I'm continually being chased by British Gas. There isn't one single figure they're after. It seems to be varying figures. So I'm being sent different amounts at different times. For example, one would be £230, and then a month later it's up to £300, and most recently it's all changed again.
And obviously, you know, this has left you, you said, feeling quite stressed about kind of the situation. So how are you feeling? You know, what's been going on?
Yep, so understandably, my day-to-day life is that constant pressure, constant worry and anxiety that with one of the letters I received is a bailiff notice, so I'm constantly worrying about the bailiffs are going to be turning up to my property, taking my belongings for a debt that I can't possibly be liable for. Yeah, so essentially I feel like I'm being terrorised for something I literally haven't done.
After Kent Online contacted British Gas, Mr. Robinson was told the entire sum of the bill had been written off. British Gas has been contacted for further information and comment. Residents in part of West Kent are calling for a main route between Tenterden and Tunbridge Wells to be downgraded to a B road. Villagers living in Biddenden, Goudhurst, Cranbrook and Sissinghurst say lorries on the A262 cause traffic chaos and keep getting stuck on unsuitable tight bends. Well, more than 230 people have now joined forces in a bid to get the route reclassified as a B road with restrictions for HGVs. And plans for a new housing development on a busy road in Maidstone have been approved. It means 42 homes will be built in Hermitage Lane close to the town's hospital. The plans were first submitted in April 2022 and have been given the go-ahead despite dozens of concerns it would add extra strain to an already busy road.
Kent Online reports.
Now, one of Kent's new MPs has been chatting about getting used to Westminster just days after he was preparing for the end of term. Tris Osborne was elected to represent Chatham and Aylesford 10 days ago. The former teacher was one of 10 new Labour MPs in the county, and I've been speaking to him about his new life in government.
From one day working in a classroom on Wednesday morning last week, teaching year 7s and 8s about conservation and climate change, to the next day winning and being given a tour of the House of Commons on a Sunday. So yeah, it's if you could pinch yourself, it's not something that you would expect necessarily to happen all in the course of 1 week, but that's politics, I suppose.
I saw some describing Westminster as a bit like Hogwarts, so perhaps you have gone from one school into pretty much another. It's just on a much grander scale. Are you getting used to it? I mean, it's a huge place, isn't it, to get your head around?
I mean, I don't know if you can ever get used to it. I said on day one, it's to work in such a building, it's an architectural marvel, isn't it? And it's you just have to remind yourself every time you see Big Ben and going into the palace that it is. It's a blessing, and it's part of our long tradition and heritage. You're absolutely right. It has been described by some of my colleagues as Hogwarts. The reason being is because you get introduced to corridors and passageways that you never knew existed. And it's very easy to get lost in there as well. Very kindly, though, they put staff at most of the major locations to help wayward MPs who get lost in corridors to their appropriate locations. I suspect it will take a couple of weeks to get used to it, but I don't doubt that even after several years, there are people who find corridors and rooms they never knew existed in that place. So it is a labyrinth in there, and it's a great pleasure to be there. And it is it's an amazing building, but it's definitely Hogwarts is probably the best word to describe it at this moment in time, because there is a sort of change of guard culture and a new feel about the place with all of these new MPs that have come in.
We mentioned that you were teaching not that long ago. Did you get a chance to say cheerio to your students, or was it a bit of a swift exit and then straight into your new job?
So I did go in on the Monday to say goodbye. We have a special week at my school where we allow the students to pursue extracurricular activities. And so this week has been that week in school. So I was looking after the Earth week alongside my colleagues. So I've left her in a bit of the lurch and I had to apologise for doing that, because we had a series of events organised for the kids to visit the Natural History Museum and visit other locations as well. So I haven't seen my form yet, annoyingly. But hopefully next week, it is my intention to go in on the last day and say goodbye. But I think here Starmer has given us indication that we might need to be in on Fridays as well. So we will see if I can make it. But I do, I've said goodbye to many of the kids. They came up to me during registration on Monday morning to congratulate me. Some knew what an MP was. I think some had other misconceptions about what the role entails, to put it mildly. It's a very surreal experience to be lining up in on Monday morning with the kids, and then being in Commons 6 hours later.
Thanks ever so much to Tris for chatting to me. Plans have been submitted to add overnight accommodation to a daycare centre in Ashford that cares for people with autism. The proposals would see 7 bedrooms added to Manor House in Bentley Road. The Kent Autistic Trust says it's in response to the charity's specialist needs. An appeal's been launched to raise funds for a permanent memorial in Gravesend to honour the local men who lost their lives in a tugboat accident nearly 70 years ago. 5 people were killed when steam tug Serviette capsized on the River Thames in 1954. Campaigners are hoping to raise £950 ahead of the anniversary in October. 2 Kent beaches have been named today as some of the best in the country. Sandgate and Westbrook Bay feature in the top 7 of the Times and Sunday Times Best UK Beaches in the South East Guide. The beaches are judged on things like natural beauty, water quality, cleanliness and dog friendliness. Southbourne Beach in Dorset came in at number 1. And a new crime drama starring Game of Thrones actress Sophie Turner, which was filmed partly in Herne Bay, is due to hit TV screens in September. It's based on the true story of notorious jewel thief Joan Hannington. Crews took over the Central Parade car park last May to shoot scenes.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and it was a very disappointing night, wasn't it, for England fans. Gareth Southgate's side were beaten 2-1 by Spain in the final of Euro 2024. It means their 58-year wait for a major men's tournament trophy continues. Well, these fans watching at Folkestone Harbour Arm last night were very disappointed.
Do you want to give your reaction to that as we go out?
What a game. What a game.
We played awful. We played rubbish. We never win. For the ninth year, I've never been able to see. Will I ever see England win? Will I ever see England win a game? This is horrendous, horrific.
absolutely shambolic, yeah? I could have done better on that pitch today. I would have scored in the 89th minute, 100%.
Yeah. I missed the first goal, so that was not very good. But I did think it was going to go to penalties, so it's not the best. But 2-1 at least. At least we got one goal in.
We thought it was coming home, but you know what? I'm happy we scored a goal. It was a laugh. And at the end of the day...
Laugh's good.
May the best team
win. Laugh's
good.
I can't stand here and say we deserved it, but you got into the tournament's favourites. You scrape through the group stage, scrape through most of the knockout stages, put in one good performance the whole tournament, and then we do that. Like, we've let a 16-year-old run us around for 90 minutes. Like, what's that about?
I'm gutted. Heartbreaking. I'm gutted. I'm fed up. Yeah. I'm fed up with you, Gareth Southgate. What have you done?
Starting to go.
What have you done?
Of course. I mean, like...
Cole Palmer's about the only thing.
Cole Palmer, Kobbie Mainoo, Mark Gehi, you know, there's that, the amount of potential that's in this team is...
We have incredible. A future, but it's not with Southgate on the wheel.
Southgate is terrible.
Is that the first change for you then?
Say is Southgate, all tournament, like last few years, he's done better than anyone has. But I think with the team that we've got, the players we've got, we should be doing better than that. Like, you've got players like Bellingham who are up for like the Ballon d'Or, and we're not managing to beat Spain, who have been good, but I feel like we should have done better. But end of the day.
I'd say under Southgate we've done well. We shouldn't turn up today. This whole tournament we ain't turned up. Simple as that.
Staying with football, and Gillingham's new managers admitted his first match in charge wasn't the prettiest. The Gills drew 0-0 with Millwall in their pre-season friendly at Priestfield on Saturday. Mark Bonner took over as boss of the club in May and says this stage is mainly about preparation.
In the end, the game's about fitness. It's so boring, isn't it? But it is. It's just about getting 45 minutes gameplay at the end of a busy 2 weeks. Lads have worked socks off, actually, and we have bombarded them with information. So you don't expect everything to be really fluid at this stage at all. You just hope that everyone can come through it. I think pretty much they have. Probably find out Monday once they recover a little bit from it. But yeah, 45 minutes of work against a Championship team that are a week ahead of us and a game ahead of us. Little bits in there that we're quite pleased with, lots of scruffy stuff, but that's just to be expected, I think, at this stage. So yeah, good afternoon in the end. Not a beautiful spectacle by any means, but yeah, ticks a box, one game down, and try and do it all again next week. As they know, we're back at it again Monday, so recover, get ready to go, have another real big week next week going into Watford, and then we go to two game weeks for a couple of weeks, which will look after itself in terms of match minutes a little bit. But at this early stage, you can't get this time back once the season starts, so we've wanted to push them quite hard, and they've done great. So yeah, one or two good moments in the game, one or two attacking moments of good threat, and lots of things to work on, which you'd pretty much expect at any time pre-season, but certainly with a new team.
Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.